B-Pod Studios.
Pooley likes women who tilt cars.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. We're the Toucher and Rich radio program. Town Fair Tire Studios. You can watch us on Twitch, twitch.tv, Twitch app. That is a man who is on in front of a microphone far too long. If you're on the, in front of a microphone for 18 hours a day, there is every one of your thoughts is recorded. And that is a man who his take was that men can like breasts as much as babies.
He just can't stop it. Let the hornball out. He just constantly. Last week, I thought when we first started doing our Stephen A. Smith is horny segment, I thought it was going to be something that maybe once a month, maybe once every 6 weeks, we'd be able to bust out. It's a once a week segment. We had three fresh cuts from him just in 1 week alone of him not being able to control himself and his horniness because there's so many. It's almost as if like there's I'm trying to figure out almost like a volcano that's constantly about to erupt. And like it's like a Herculean task for him to keep down the horniness volcano. And then at some point, just nature takes its course and boom. Out comes the talk about breast milk. Out comes the talk about Kim Kardashian. Out comes the talk about Miami and loving the ladies down in Miami. He can't help but be horny.
All right, but so say he's like a hornier than average guy.
Mm-hmm.
From the time he gets up until the time he goes to bed, he's mm-hmm. in front of a microphone. I mean, there is no time to fornicate.
Yeah.
And if there is, there are rushed fornications. So the whole time he's just building and building and almost edging like the whole day.
I think of it as like we talked about the TV show Lost. Do you remember that there was that thing, the numbers that had to keep being typed in or the island would explode?
Yes.
I think that's his takes. I think sports takes are the only thing that keep it buried. And the second he stops thinking about takes, boom! It's an explosion of horniness.
All I can think about is the handlers that you had to deal with when you interviewed him at the Super Bowl. Those handlers weren't there. Those handlers were there to keep him like straight. The guy's an animal.
Yeah, he's just like sure. He starts like just like wandering away from like everyone.
Yeah,
boobies.
Where's Stephen A?
Ass. And they're like Stephen.
Yeah.
Ass. And he's like wandering away like they can't keep track of him. Like
yeah. People to hurt him in the right direction.
He's like a 90-year-old grandpa who just like leaves the picnic. And you got to go chase him down.
Talk about people holding it down. He holds it down every day.
Yeah. Look at that ass. Ooh. Pule likes fecal. Pule. And then he's just walking away.
It's kind of like when Chili, you guys used to say, Timmy's a good boy. And, you know, you speak about somebody that I don't know if that person exists.
No, you made a good point. Pule might be a Tyler Durden situation. But that is indeed him.
He loves talking about Pule, though.
Well, I mean, how much material are you going to have? I mean, the guy, again, is on...
Pooley likes women who tilt cars.
Cars. He's on 14 hours a day.
Horny all hours of the day.
Yes, yeah. You are. You are horny all hours of the day.
He's so horny. Mm-hmm. He has no time even to relieve himself.
No, he doesn't. He has said that before.
That's got to be rough.
Mm-hmm. He's disciplined. He will not. But although the discipline is going away... Because it's just that you can't stop. And his whole thing now is he's just obsessed with that Kim Kardashian Sports Illustrated swimsuit thing.
You know, my theory is that he's in this, you know, green screen prison where they keep him, you know, 18 hours a day. And they just threw they threw that issue in there like a meat to a lion.
Right.
And he just sat there like.
It's like when you're good in prison.
Yeah. And he got the mags. He's. Oh, Buddha's ass. That ass. Boobies. Not milk, though. No. Men can like breasts. As much as babies. But the milk. Men don't like.
I thought my whole prediction was when he tweeted that he was going to address that tweet. I thought it was going to be where he was going to be talking about how Like, he was going to yell. He was going to yell at the beginning. It's like, man, this is crazy. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Nope.
But Briss.
Yeah.
But he started off. And as I said, it's like you can look at the wavelength of the audio that we're playing, and you know exactly at what moment he gets horny. It's when it goes from peak to sexy valley.
Yeah.
Like, it's just a
Now, some women
have two nipples.
Now, nipples
produce milk. Ooh.
Well, there you go. You'll hear plenty of Stephen A. Smith for the rest of your lives.
Yes. Yeah, he'll be everywhere. Omnipresent.
For the rest of your lives.
Omni horny.
You'll hear Stephen A. Smith. Whoops, excuse me. That came out of nowhere. My father is in town, and he's 81. And he is beginning to drive me insane. I can do this break now because he's not awake yet. But he talks almost constantly. He's at the age where he just like talks, and he's not talking to me. He's talking just constantly, and he'll just like try to make conversations. So he goes, are you guys talking about the NBA finals? And I go, not really, you know. We don't really do national stuff unless it's the NFL. And he goes, oh, would you talk about the finals if the Celtics were in it?
And that'd be yes.
Okay.
No, Dad. No.
Is he not aware of what you do for a living?
He's just out there talking. He's just talking away.
Okay.
And his big thing is when I'm backing out of somewhere to go, I'll clear this side. All clear this side. I don't know what I would have done without you. Thank you so much for letting me know this area is clear. And sometimes it's not even that loud. It's just, wah, 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 wah. What? It's clear, I said. It's clear. Clear, Freddie. He sits right next to me on the couch in the basement. You want to know the Tennessee girls softball score?
Sure.
Oh, it's on the phone. Okay. He'll go, wow, Jesus Christ. And I'll go, what? He'll go, Tennessee's beating Winthrop 10-2. Thanks.
Does he go to the games? Is he like a super fan? Okay.
No, he doesn't care. This is his punk rock move. Like, this is his, he's into women's softball. Mm-hmm. This is his, like, esoteric thing. This is his, you know, like listening to Big Black or something like that. You know, like, oh, you don't have the album? Oh, you're unfamiliar with Tennessee's women's softball? Well, let me tell you, it's something to watch. It's gotten to be so much I don't even remember anymore what has got me so angry.
Winthrop, huh?
I don't know. Something like that.
That's great.
He goes, Jesus, Clemson lost. Oh, really? Okay.
In softball.
I don't know. I don't pay any attention to him. Okay. He just sits there. And just, would you talk about the Celtics if they were in the final? No. 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 You hit the nail on the head. Just argues over every single little point, too. Oh, my God. He's here till Sunday.
Why don't you just start talking politics, wind him all the way up?
No way. No way.
It's just the two of you in that place, right?
No way.
It'd be perfect.
No way.
Nowhere to hide?
No way. I don't know anything about politics at all.
But he does.
He knows everything about politics. I'm completely uninformed. I have no opinion anymore. Mm-hmm. I've completely removed myself from any political thought. I don't read up about anything about it. I don't, but no way.
How often is Fox News on in your place?
He kind of like detoxed off of Fox News.
Is he Newsmax now? He's moved on?
No.
Class your material?
Newsmax.
I think Newsmax might have been like when he picked up the crack pipe. You know how like people would like do cocaine like back in the day, and then they started freebasing, and then they realized maybe it was too much? Like, I think Fox News was his coke, and then when he started watching Newsmax, it was freebasing.
You're all in.
And he realized that maybe he had gone over a little bit too much.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even see that disgusting phone of his like on Fox anymore. I'm sure it's where he gets his information, but in terms of like having it on all the time, he's detoxed from that.
You ever thought of playing the jukebox in a way that sometimes when I'm with somebody who just I don't like really have a lot to talk about, I just start, I ask him a question and then I just ask follow-up questions and ask follow-up just so I don't have to think that much. Just let them talk.
I've done that.
Like, that would require him shutting up.
No. I mean, that's even better.
But he won't shut talking, up for a question. He just sits there babbling to himself.
And to that, it would be like, you see, I would find that to be a lot better than like having that fear that he's just going to jump in and start talking out of nowhere. Then you can kind of control the flow of volume. If you just play the jukebox, then you can kind of go, yeah. It's like Handsome Dan in Wayne's World, you know.
Right. So yep. I have a TV like in couch in the basement, which is where I spend most of my time. But there, upstairs in the second floor, there's a big kitchen and like a TV and stuff. And like he'll be upstairs like reading a book and eating in the kitchen. And then he'll see me, and then he'll see me going downstairs, and he'll stand up and follow me downstairs and like sit right next to me. It's really a lot. Oh my God. He says so much stuff. I can't even remember what all of it is.
I don't think he remembers it either, if it makes you feel any better.
No, but I told you the story about my mom because I have gout.
Yeah.
And she's like, so you get in a dog, maybe on, this was last week, you get in a dog on Sunday. And I go, you know what? I haven't really thought of it. Maybe. You shouldn't get one because you're gout. She'll present you with the thing.
Okay, Mom, I'll just sit alone in my apartment.
So she can tell you not to do it.
Mm.
Like, I really wasn't thinking about it. That wasn't the plan.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you
yeah.
know what? Don't do it because of the gout.
Yeah.
You don't do that. That would be bad. So between the two of them, oof. But my mom's very happy because I went to church yesterday.
Huh.
I went to church for the first time in like 10 years.
Wow.
And my mother's over the moon because I went to an Episcopalian church, which is what I was baptized in.
Should have gone to temple. See how that would have done for her.
They wouldn't let me in. It cost money.
Is that right?
I didn't have enough
I wasn't
money.
Aware there was an alarm that went off when you passed through.
No, but it costs money for the high holidays, and I'm sure there's some holiday going on right now.
Don't you need a ticket? Isn't that the thing you need a ticket?
For the holidays.
For the holidays you do. Yeah.
Yeah, for the holidays, it's... For Yom Kippur or Passover, I would imagine even Purim.
Talk about something that I didn't realize I would learn anything too educational from Curb Your Enthusiasm. I didn't realize you needed a ticket to get into some of those high holiday ones.
Yeah, the temple by Emory in Atlanta was a hot ticket. You had to get that a couple days in advance. All right, Rich, what is coming up? I mean, I know we're going to devour the women's softball tournament, but other than that, what are we going to talk about?
Do you like good baseball? Well, there wasn't much of it this weekend with the Red Sox. We will talk about the Little League display that we saw on the field at Fenway yesterday.
We had a perfect day on Saturday, and I'm not being sarcastic. It took my son on Saturday to the game, and everything that it was for his birthday, and everything that we wanted to happen happened. Hmm. It was like the stars aligned once for the Toucher family.
I had an opposite one Saturday night.
Oh, really?
It froze my balls off.
Oh, good.
That was sucked.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, the weather was terrible. But in terms of, why we went to the game, where we sat, and everything happened perfect.
Got the dugout seats, right?
Well, we had third row from the dugout, but the weather was crappy, so the people that were right in front of the dugout didn't show.
Oh, that's great.
So my son got two balls.
Oh,
but
nice.
But the first ball they threw him, he gave to a little kid. And then the second ball, he kept... And that was why he wanted to do it. He's still young enough that he wanted balls. But it was great. The Tampa Bay, good guys. They talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
They have a heater in the dugout. It's a whole thing. All right.
Well, they look like a real baseball team.
Yeah. They don't have a guy who should be a DH playing shortstop.
I think you're overrating.
They don't have a guy who with 11 errors playing shortstop. All right. So we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Recapping what you missed, it's Toucher and Rich.
Hey, what's up? We're Toucher and Rich. What happened last night is delivered by Granite City Electric's GC Night Train Electrical Contractors. Order your materials for overnight delivery from the Granite City Electric GC Night Train, and you won't have to worry about what happened last night. Your materials are waiting for you at the job site by 6 a.m. Go to GCENightTrain.com.
Well, the Red Sox entered Sunday's game against the Rays with the most amount of errors in the American League. It certainly didn't change after yesterday. First off, Masataka Yoshida had a ball roll under his glove.
He stinks defensively.
He's not very good.
That was the scouting report on him when he got here. This is not a surprise.
On Saturday morning, he misplayed a ball. I don't know how you do it in left field. He ran back, and then I mean, there's no room to cover there.
Exactly.
He ran back and then had to come flying back in, and he misplayed.
Which is why he's in left. That's the reason they put him out there, because that big wall will send balls back to you if you misplay them.
Well, yesterday, that ball, it rolled under his glove. He kicked it, then he kicked it again before finally stopping the chaos. But that wasn't even in the same league of screw-uppery as what happened just a little bit after that.
He does take off, and how about this hitting? Bounding ball through the open space and off into right field. They're going to wave him. The throw comes into second, now on the way to the plate, and they steal a run. And this throw is into the outfield. Diaz taking off for third. They're going to wave him in, and he's going to score. And that looked like Little League.
The Little League home run.
I mean, it was. It looks like something your seven-year-old's team did on one of those never-ending games. It's like, please, end this.
And by the way, on Saturday afternoon, they did something similar when Hernandez picked up a ball, and he was laying on his ass, and he just, for no reason, flipped it to second about 6 feet off the base. I mean, just they're really undisciplined.
To be honest, he shouldn't be at shortstop. He should be in center field.
Well, no, but I mean, he has 11 errors.
Yeah. They refuse to move him from shortstop. There's nobody else.
This team?
Nobody else can play shortstop but that guy, who's the worst fielding shortstop on the planet. Yeah, what'd you say? I'm sorry.
I said, can you imagine if you're a pitcher?
Yeah.
And that's where balls go to die. Just, and all the unnecessary throws and the undisciplined play. I mean, they play like a little league team.
I mean, just that in the park craptastic home run is just capping off a bad defensive weekend for these guys. The Rays end up winning at 6-2, but that's the 10th game this season with multiple errors for the Red Sox.
Yeah, they stink.
Which, again, you would think that if you were piecing together a team and just trying to buy time for the future, that the easiest thing to do would be to pick up good defensive players and just know that you have a solid defense behind your pitcher.
It's going to get worse, by the way. It's going to get worse because they have Adam Duvall coming back, a corner outfielder who they're going to put in the center. And then that move, Carlos Arroyo's coming back. He's a utility player playing second base. Kike Hernandez, who's a very good center fielder, is your shortstop. And then you have that great play by Connor Wong, who threw the ball into center field yesterday, mm-hmm. although he's been decent defensively. It's a disease that spreads. You know, this entire team. Rafael Devers is a good defensive player on this team.
By the way,
that's how bad it is.
Kike Hernandez should not be a Major League Baseball player.
I disagree. He should be a Major League Baseball player who's just out of position.
He's slugging 360, and he's got 11 errors.
Well, he hit well when he played. He hit well last year. But
if I gave you his stats from this season, you would have to agree.
No, they're not good.
This is not a major. In fact, you could make an argument he's one of the worst players in baseball.
Sure.
What do you think his WAR is? Like minus 50?
Minus 2? Minus 2.5?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Not good.
No, it's not good. The entire team can't field. And the pitching staff is a coin flip. And, oh, that's right, Chris Sale got hurt again last week.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is a team that was not built to win anything. This is a team that was built to be slightly better than last year, hoping. They have their fingers crossed that you can be slightly better than last year, and that buys the minor leaguers another year before they come up. Their best prospect just had three hits and a stolen base at AA yesterday. So they're waiting. The clock is on this kid. He's going to be here in a year or 18 months, tops. And then fans will have something to cheer for.
Well, as far as Tanner Houck, he allowed four runs over five innings. The Sox are now 0-5 for his last five starts. Here is Alex Cora on the team's sloppiness.
You got to throw the ball to the right base. You got to back up. You cannot become a spectator, right? You got places to go in every play in baseball. They had a great baseball play. He took off, rumbled a second, and that happened. And that's, you know, it's not good baseball, bottom line. The coach, you know, he sees the play. It's a gamble, to be honest with you. If you make two good throws, you get him out of the plate. And we didn't do that. We threw the ball away to second, and we were just watching like the rest of the 35,000 people here.
So Alex Cora was asked, all right, well, if that's the case, whose fault is this? Who do we blame?
We got to keep preaching good defense. We got to coach them. At the end, it's on me. You know, I'm the manager of this club, and we've been sloppy. So, you know, it's not about pointing fingers, right? You know, the roster is a roster, and we have to play better baseball. But
yeah.
You know, I'm the manager of this team, and you know, defensively, we're not good. We're not, you know, and we keep working. We're going to show up early, and we're going to keep talking in place, and we're going to coach the players until we get it right.
The roster is the roster.
Damn right it is.
Yeah.
Good for Alex Cora on attempting to throw himself on that grenade that Chaim Bloom kind of rolled into the room and dashed away from.
But you know what? Even with that roster, they should be better than they are.
No, like, I disagree.
You can't be playing. There are dumb mental errors that these guys have.
Because they're all playing out of position, Rich. They shouldn't be better than what they are. As a matter of fact, I think the argument is they should be worse. Good for Alex Cora.
How can you be much worse than this?
No, they should be well under 500 with the people they're rolling out there. Have you seen guys that are hitting? Kike Hernandez, who Fred was just talking about, is hitting fifth half the time. Jaron Duran, who's under 200 for the last month, is hitting fifth in this order.
Well,
that's how bad they are. They shouldn't be a game over 500.
I just love, sure enough, after yesterday's sloppiness, Tom Karen from Nesson tweeted, quote, Red Sox throw the ball around like infield little leaguers. Diaz hits a chopper through the right side of the infield. Margot scores on an offline throw, and Diaz runs all the way around as Wong's throw sails out to center field, and no one is there to field it. Heavy boos follow. And to that, of course, that tweet was quoted by Dan Shaughnessy, to which he replied, please don't be so negative.
Dan just spends most of his days at Fenway with that finger hovering over the keyboard, Dan, ready to hit send.
Dan versus Tom Karen has been just it's been my favorite thing so far. This has been like a joy to watch. It's like he set up the alerts on his phone for whenever Tom Karen tweets anything, and Dan's just like, don't be so negative. Well, the Sox are now 1-6 against the Rays this season and have been outscored by 17 runs. The final game in this seemingly never-ending series is this afternoon at 4:06, where it will be 60 degrees, a lot better than the 40 degrees without the wind chill that it was on Saturday night as I sat there in the raw wind and the rain. That last couple innings just absolutely sucked. I was able to take it for a little bit because, you know, it was just kind of misting and it wasn't awful, but then it just becomes absolutely unbearable after a while.
See, my kid, for his birthday, wanted to sit behind the visitor's dugout for a game. And his birthday was in May, so I got, and he likes the afternoon games. So we went, and the row in front of, in our section, the row in front of the dugout was open. So we just, after the first inning, sat there, and, Diaz threw him a ball. The third baseman threw him a ball. It was a whole scene. It was
great.
It couldn't have gone better.
I was one of the bleacher creatures.
Oh,
on
yeah.
Saturday.
And, was it a school thing?
No, it was a group of us. It was a group. So, and there were a bunch of kids and stuff too. So we're sitting in the bleachers, and there was a dude a couple rows behind us who was throwing peanuts at people, and you know, just kind of no one seemed to care. But he nailed this fairly diminutive guy who was walking down the stairs, and he turns around and looks and like sees the guy who threw it, and I saw him marching back up, and he's like, "Did you throw that peanut?" And the guy's like, "No, man, I didn't throw nothing." He goes, "I saw you throw that peanut." And he goes, "Man, I didn't do anything, I swear." And he goes, "I got my eye on you."
What?
And he starts walking away, and all of a sudden he starts going, yeah, Bagel Boss, keep walking. And I was like, Bagel Boss? I'm like, I don't know what that insult
is. Reference from very long ago.
So I had to Google it, and I completely had forgotten about that dude who went into the went into Long Island Deli and started screaming at people, who was like 5 feet tall and was...
And then, like, he tried to make it a career. He, like, how did...
Tried to be a wrestler or something.
He got, like, Alan Dershowitz to represent him.
He was going to fight Lenny Dykstra, I believe. I believe there was going to be a boxing match between Bagel Boss and Lenny Dykstra.
Okay. I'm drawing the line at that. I find it very difficult that Lenny Dykstra would lower himself to that level. That he was going to fight a guy named Bagel
Boss. I mean, instead of making money that way, just steal copper from people's houses.
His own house.
Okay, maybe his own house. But one that was not his, I believe, at the time.
Whatever, that's what the law says.
He was on his way out.
Not quite sure.
It was like a parting gift.
Sure. You don't know what we're talking about. When we had Charlie Sheen on the air in the middle of the night, we tried to get him to call people, and he called up his friend Lenny Dykstra. And Dykstra's in this, you can just hear this, like, cavernous echoing. And he's in this place, and he's like, yeah, he's getting copper pipe out of this place that I owned. He's like literally going through this house he's evacuating and just taking all the copper pipe with him. That is a man who has fallen greatly. That is a man that the Kramer guy on CNBC used to take his stock advice, would call him a financial genius.
Oh, yeah.
Lenny Dykstra. All right, Rich. So the guy, why was the guy throwing peanuts at people?
I don't know. Just because you get bored after a while. I think it's just people, some people are getting bored with the team after
sit
a
out
bit.
In the bleachers, man. It's dealer's choice.
I mean, it's like it's kind of funny because, you know, my kids are old enough to where they think it's funny when people like swear like crazy, and that's all it was. Mother effing, you effing butt. Like, a guy knocked himself out running. Like, one of the Rays, I don't know if you saw it on Saturday night, but he was running to catch a like something right near the wall, and he hit the wall, and he knocked himself out for a minute. And, you know, all of us, we didn't see it actually happen, like how he hit it. We just saw him hit the ground, and all of us are like, oh, my God. And these people are like, you effing P-word, get up, man. Get up. And they're screaming at it. And then they showed the replay. And sure enough, the dude just kind of like trotted into the wall. And so everyone's like, yeah, okay, I guess these dudes were right.
Yeah. He is a pussy. Big pussy.
Yeah.
Trotting into the wall like that.
Yeah.
All right, Rich, what is coming up?
Well, call your dad because we're talking NBA Finals, baby.
But would we talk about it then if the Celtics were in it?
Well, we would have started with that if the Celtics were in it, but they get the two block.
Okay, all right. So we will have that for you in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
It's Rich. A ballet, all right?
Continues.
We bob, we weave, we dance.
On the Sports Hub.
Yo, we're the Touch from Rich Show. We're presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. Make every moment more with FanDuel. Going into the game two last night, everything was coming up Denver. Mm-hmm. I heard radio show sings Jamal Murray, the second best player in Nuggets history. And I said, Alex English, where have thou gone?
Kiki Vandeweghe.
I mean, Carmelo Anthony. I mean, please.
Allen Iverson.
What about Chris the Birdman Anderson? Chris the Birdman Anderson's got to protect the nest.
Mm. The problem with, I feel really bad for the Birdman Anderson because he's one of these guys that they accused of having kiddie porn.
Raided his home.
And then he didn't have kiddie porn.
I think what had happened was that some psycho fan of his had emailed him some like underage like porn, I believe it was, and that she had reported that he had it, but then they went and they checked, and I think it was like in an email that he had never opened from that crazy woman. Like, I think that she like tried to plant him have it.
But the problem is that they go, hey, this guy's got kiddie porn, this guy's a child molester.
And the follow-up's never really reported.
It's just like, whoops.
Yeah, or like, you know, it's not as heavily reported as the first part of it.
No, it's like a retraction on page 3 of the obituaries.
Right. Right. The sensational stuff will always get written about first. But no longer with the team, Chris the Birdman Anderson. He's made some good tattoo choices in his life. I do know that.
Him and MJK are two guys that you got to look up to and just say, yeah.
But to the Denver Nuggets, we do feel your pain.
Lead up by one. 9:50 remains in game 2. Nice cut. Duncan gets it. Puts it up and swirls in. Beautiful feed by Bam. Timeout, Denver. Mike Malone wants that dry erase board right now.
Yep, the Nuggets are a better team. We're looking at a potential sweep. They should make short work of that 8 seed that barely made it in. The Nuggets are living the Celtics nightmare in real time. And last night, it was that Eric Spoelstra magic as the Miami Heat shoot their way back into this series and tie things up at a game apiece. So you know how I mentioned the similarities between this series and the one against the Celtics? Well, with 11 seconds left and down by 3, the Nuggets get a Miami rebound. And how about Denver coach Mike Malone pulling a Joe Mazzulla and not calling a timeout?
Butler, a three-pointer. Off the side of the rim, Brown the rebound. Should the Heat foul here?
I'm taking a foul. I'm not allowing them to get off a 3.
Denver does have a timeout, but they're not using it. 4 seconds. Murray, step back. Three-pointer. One goal. Fight for the rebound. Martin. And it's over.
Hey. And that's one of those times where a timeout probably would have behooved them, but the Heat become the first visiting team to win in Denver this postseason because,
you know why?
Of course, they were.
You know why?
What is that?
It's hard to win there. Damn mile high.
Yeah, you got 52.5280 right there on the foul line. Kind of remind you.
You're effing a mile high.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Good luck breathing up there, Jack.
Well, Gabe Vincent had 23 because, well, that's what he does now.
That's what Gabe Vincent's all about.
That guy's going to get so much money.
There's two Gabes in the history of the world, Gabe Kaplan and Gabe Vincent. They when they handed out Gabes.
Well, Gabe Kapler, too.
Doesn't count.
It doesn't?
Gabe, what do you miss most about Boston?
I only recognize two Gabes.
All right.
One is Gabe Kaplan, the great star of Fast Break. And the other is Gabe Vincent,
mm-hmm.
who looks like Gabe.
Looks just like him. He does.
In fact, when you looked at Gabe Kaplan, you said, if I'm casting a basketball movie, get me Kaplan. That's the guy I want. He looks like he's a man who's been around the game.
Well, mm-hmm. Jimmy Butler had his 21. Even Duncan Robinson had 10 points, but they were huge in the fourth quarter. And then he tried to make a mean face afterwards, which was somewhat hysterical. But Mike Malone, Coach Mike Malone, somewhat of a hard-o, not very happy with the effort of his own team after the game.
I mean, this is the NBA Finals, and we're talking about effort. That's a huge concern of mine. You know, and you guys probably thought I was just making up some storyline after game one when I said we didn't play well. We didn't play well. Start the third quarter, they scored 11 points in 2 minutes and 10 seconds. You know, we had guys out there that were just whether feeling sorry for themselves or not making shots or thinking they can just turn it on or off. This is not the preseason. This is not the regular season. It's not round. This is the NBA Finals.
And then you got Jimmy Butler just sitting there and, you know, doesn't seem to be. Jimmy knows sweat. The guy doesn't seem to let anything bother him.
I just think nobody cares on our team. We're not worried about what anybody thinks. We're so focused in on what we do well and who we are as a group. Today, that's what we fall back on. Make or miss shots, we're going to be who we are. Because we're not worried about anybody else. It's how it's been all year long, and that's not going to change. So that's what I think it is. I think it's the I don't give a damn factor.
So Mike and I had a discussion before the show. Jeff Green is playing for the Nuggets.
Yes.
How old do you think Jeff Green is? Because I was trying to do the math.
Yeah.
He was traded here on the Kendrick Perkins trade, which was what, 11?
Yeah.
Okay, it was like something 2011. Like
that, yes. No, this is
so
like
he was probably in the league for like 2 years at that point.
I bet you he's a man of 33 years old.
No, 35.
He's got to be like 35, 36.
35. Because did he play college basketball? I don't think he did.
That was 12 years ago that trade happened, and he'd been in for
36. Okay. Going to be 37 in August.
And by the way,
oh, he did play college.
Jeff Green, a guy that wasn't expected to play too much because of his heart condition, and now he's still playing in an NBA Finals game.
I should have remembered this. He's the guy that the Celtics drafted in order to get Ray Allen here.
They wanted
in 07. And
Danny Jeff Green. Loved Jeff Green.
I think that was a lot of talk.
Who else came in the Jeff Green trade when they got rid of Perk?
Oh, there was... No. It was
Dreamboat.
No, that wasn't the Jeff Green trade.
Yeah, it was.
Chris Humphreys?
Oh, are you talking about when they...
When Pert got traded, who else did they get back?
The kid from Miami of Ohio.
No, Dreamboat Hunk.
Nenad Krstić, baby.
There you go. There you go.
He had a bald Poster spot boy. At the age of 26. Nenad Krstić.
Nenad Krstić, baby.
I remember that.
I remember the sell job after that trade. Oh, boy.
Oh, baby.
That's one of the tougher ones. Danny's done a lot of brilliant stuff. We know that. That's one that to this day, I don't get that at all. I did not get that one bit. But the Heat now. By the way, Jeff Green, here he got a podium game last night.
Point. Yeah. I mean, it's the finals, man. Like, our energy has to be better. We can't come out like we did. And, we have to be better.
I do love it that everyone's just dropping the F-bomb and nobody cares anymore. It's kind of great. You know, all these press conferences, everyone's swearing like here and there. And nobody minds. Nobody at ESPN seems to care. It's good. It's good. We should be in that direction. I like it. But the Heat now have 7 wins after trailing by 12 or more points this postseason. That's the most, I saw the stat, by any team in a single postseason run in the play-by-play era. When exactly is the play-by-play era?
I don't know.
Hasn't there almost always been a play-by-play?
Whoa. In the play-by-play era.
Yeah, that's a statistics I saw. In the play-by-play era?
So it must be when they started writing down every play that happened.
That sounds right. I think you're right, Fred.
Well, that's got to be a while, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. There used to be like 5 people at Celtics.
I know. And the other thing is Miami has been in like 77 games decided by 5 points or less, and they've won all of them. It's amazing. It's amazing. As I said during the Celtics series, they just play at a certain level. They're always the same, and all the other teams are way up and down around them.
I've had enough about hearing about Jimmy Butler, by the way, though.
Yeah, he didn't play well last night.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, he had 21 points. He was fine.
Yeah, it was like 7 of 19 from the field.
You know when the Nuggets lose? When Jokic has an out-of-body experience. Like, every time I think he scores over 40 points, they lose.
Well, there's a reason for that, and give Spoelstra credit. They stopped doubling him. They just covered everybody else.
They just let him go.
They just let Jokic go off, and his great ability passing, obviously, to wide-open guys who were good shooters. He didn't have that last night.
Isn't that kind of also just the way that it is? If there's one player who just seems to be the one who has like an unbelievable, over-the-top, dynamic game, a lot of times, you're right. That's an indication that your team may or most likely may not win.
Well, from what I saw is that the idea with Jokic is you want to stop him from passing.
Yeah.
And so
he's such a good passer. Yeah, for being so awkward, he's such a good passer.
So you can make a couple decisions off that pick and roll. You can choose to, body him, and then that leaves someone open, or you can kind of give him that little mid-range, like, or that little floater in the key.
Yeah, that's what they did yesterday.
Yeah.
Have at it. Go ahead, score as many points as you want.
Right.
And he scored 41, and they lost.
And then when he's not shooting threes for the most part. So, like, if you're just keeping him to those little, if you're keeping him to shots in the paint, you're probably going to.
I will say this thing. It was really sad. Bam Adebayo did a decent job on it.
He was good yesterday. Yesterday he was good.
Then they brought Zeller in, and he had no chance. He came out there. He played. He played Jokic like my 80-year-old dad would have played Jokic. And Jokic was scoring on him at will. And they stole Bam like 2 or 3 minutes here, 2 or 3 minutes there before he got really bad, and then brought him back in. It was awful. I felt bad for Zeller. He really had no chance.
Well, now the series heads down to Miami for game 3 on Wednesday. Oh, I love the dragging out of the games once again. Denver favored by 2.5 in that game. Nuggets still favored by -275 to win the series. At least that's the way on DraftKings Sportsbook it looks. And there you go. What did we say at the beginning of this series? I said that, my head says the Nuggets are going to win this in 5, maybe 6 games. But my heart is taking a look at what the Miami Heat have been able to do over and over and over again and look like they're completely outmatched. And then, sure enough, Eric Spoelstra magic every single time. And they just keep hitting, like last night was threes, 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 all over the place. Could not miss. And they did an excellent job. It's going to be tough. It's going to be a good series.
Duncan Robinson, Fred.
Layups. He's the layup king now. He did it last night, too.
And the thing was, he didn't take a shot, didn't have any points. Beginning of the fourth quarter, he just exploded the first two. I think Denver was up 8,
at the beginning of the fourth quarter, and Robinson scored like 10 straight points to give Miami the lead, and that was it.
Well, he was awesome.
Out of nowhere.
If you let him screw around, he'll make a layup while slapping the backboard, which is the true definition of athleticism.
Did you see his face that he made? He made like a mean mug, and on they did the slow motion thing, where it's like, yeah. And you're like, no, that's not working.
You have 10 points, sir.
They were important points,
though. I understand that, but I mean.
I think they're all in the fourth quarter, right?
I was just saying. Boom. He was the reason that Miami got the lead.
Not pretend we're Isaiah Thomas playing on one leg. Let's get this going. So you want to hear an interesting antidote I heard on this very radio station? Mm-hmm. Olden Polonies was doing a show yesterday evening. And you know how Draymond hit that guy and then the pool?
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
they said that, you know, that's why everything went down.
Punched him in the face during the preseason.
Yeah. He said that that at one time Isaiah Thomas hit Lambeer in the face and broke his hand. And they were playing cards later that night.
Mm.
That he was calling the guys wusses now. That you should be allowed to hit a teammate. That's just Olden Polonies.
Hmm.
But what do you want out of him?
That was like a crazy ass sucker punch, too.
Yeah, it was good. It was only like cool guys do that. Olden Polonies.
Yep. I believe it was a teammate of Michael Jordan as a rookie year.
Oh, that was that when the Bulls had the Froey coach?
Yes.
Before Phil Jackson.
Stan Albeck.
Oh.
Yes.
Olden Polonies. In the Silver Dome.
What'd you call him? The Froey Fro?
The Froey Coach. The coach with the white boy Fro.
Right before Doug Collins. Collins was second.
Yep.
Stan Albeck, I believe, is the guy.
Stan Albeck was just sitting there with a pick in his hair saying, what do you want out of me? It's like me and Willie Ames are going out for beers.
Yep. That's right. Stan was a white guy. That's right.
Yeah, he was. Yes, he was.
Yep.
He was as white as the day was long.
There'll be a quiz later, Rich.
Yes, if you like frumpy.
I saw The Last Dance.
Yeah.
If you like a lot of frump.
If you like frumpy frumpy guys with froes, white guys with froes, that was the guy for you. He didn't exude success, I'll say. All right, so we'll be back in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.